Welcome home, neighbors.
Welcome home, neighbors.
Hello, neighbors.
We're listening from
Arizona,
Florida,
Maryland, New York, New Jersey,
Indianapolis,
California,
Utah,
Michigan,
Iowa, Massachusetts,
Georgia,
Canada.
Our home resort is
Animal Kingdom,
Polynesian,
Bay Lake Tahoe,
Old Key West,
Riviera,
Boardwalk,
Alani Resort,
Hilton Head,
Boulder Ridge,
Copper Creek,
Grand Floridian,
Saratoga Springs,
Beach Club,
and Wilderness Lodge.
And you're listening to
my
Hello and welcome to the DVC Newscast. This is episode 162 and this is Peter talking, and I'm also here with Sue this week. Hi, Sue.
Hey, Peter. How are you?
Just back from the Caribbean.
Yes, I am.
But before we get into the news stories this week, and we got a couple of them this week, one kind of big one that probably everybody's heard about, but we can talk about that a little bit. But before we get into that, let's thank our sponsor, and this week our sponsor is DVC Rental Store, and this is the place if you are new to DVC, you want to try it out, you maybe have thought about buying DVC, but you're not really sure what's involved, check out DVC Rental Store, and you can go there, you can rent points, or you can rent a pre-booked vacation. It's a huge discount versus going directly to Disney and booking at any of these deluxe resorts, because you are paying for points that you're renting from another person at a much lower rate than what Disney charges. So go ahead and check them out. Or if you're a member and you have too many points, I wish this was a problem, but there are members out there that can't use all their points. You can also go there and rent your points, and it's a much better value than, you know, a lot of other uses for points, like turning them into the Interval International or something like that. Much better value, or using it for the Disney collection or things like that, or even using it for cruises. You're better off renting out those points, taking the cash, and then using that money for other vacations. I've done that myself. Anyways, check them out, DVC Rental Store. And with that, we're going to get to the news. And the first news story we got came out earlier this week, and in what may be the biggest Disney announcement in recent years, on May 7th, Disney announced the building of its seventh global resort in Abu Dhabi on Yas Island, where several other theme park resorts are already located. The resort is in conjunction with and wholly paid for by a corporation called Miral, which is a local Abu Dhabi company, and with the design work being done by Disney Imagineering. So basically, they're partnering with Disney, and they are providing the funding. This will only be the second park fully financed by another company after Tokyo Disneyland, which is owned by the Oriental Land Company. So all the other parks, Disneyland Paris is fully owned by Disney now. It was originally a partnership. And Shanghai and Hong Kong, they both have partnerships there. Disney doesn't fully own them, but they do partially own them. It's expected the park will open in about 5 years. So, you know, we're looking at the early 2030s, so it's a little ways away. They shared one piece of concept art that was pretty vague looking, sort of castle and then some obscured rides. Buried in the announcement also, though, when Bob Iger was asked about a fifth park in Florida, he only mentioned aggressive expansion in the existing four parks. So don't hold your breath for a fifth Disney World park, but I will say this, the reason I mentioned the wholly paid by Miral, if anyone was worried, oh, they're going to cut back on what they're spending in Disney World and Disneyland, according to Disney, that is not the case. And with this being fully financed, it shouldn't pull money away from the resources that they're already looking at. So I think it's all good news. I mean, I don't know, Sue, you're going to go to Abu Dhabi and
I've always wanted to take the Emirates Airlines to Abu Dhabi. First class is $15,000 round trip from here.
Oh, nice.
So if I win the lottery, it's on my bucket list. But I can imagine that being in Abu Dhabi, they've got so many things that are of highest technology over there. And I can imagine that they'll pay for the highest technology for that Disney theme park as well.
Yeah, I got to imagine it's going to be really a cutting edge park. There are definitely some rides that are on the cusp of the newest technologies and things like that. So I'm sure we'll see some things debut there that they don't have in other Disney parks. So I think that'll be cool. There was a mention by one of the Miral representatives that it's going to be a predominantly indoor theme park. They said the temperatures there are on average about 12 degrees hotter or something like that than Florida. So, you know, Florida's already pretty hot.
Yeah.
You know, not sure what exactly that means. I mean, in some ways, like a park like Epcot, Epcot's mostly, you know, especially Future World or whatever they're calling it now, is a mostly right. indoor park, if you think about it. I mean, some of the queues are outside, but really everything, all the rides are inside. So it might mean something like that, where there isn't as much, it isn't as much like Animal Kingdom where people are waiting in lines outdoors and things like that.
Right.
All the queues and everything will be inside, or maybe it'll be completely enclosed. I don't know. That would be kind of wild. I couldn't imagine that.
Yeah. Yeah. A castle enclosed.
See, that doesn't seem like it works, right?
Yeah. No. No. Yeah.
And you can't have fireworks either, I don't think.
That would almost be like the Truman Story.
Yeah.
The movie, the Truman Story. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I don't think
that'd be a little odd, but I can see where, you know, it would help with the air conditioning and keeping people comfortable,
yeah,
especially if they had it for the queues.
Yeah, but as I said, I could see like mostly indoors with, you know, some areas where you walk between things is more outside or something like that. And each of, as I said, think about like how Epcot Future World is, that you really spend a lot of time at the individual rides. You get to the individual ride, you go inside, and then you're inside until you get off the ride, you know? So I could see something like that, where there's very few outdoor queues. I mean, if you think about Future World, it's other than Spaceship Earth, all the queues are inside, right? Mm-hmm. Just about.
Correct. Yep.
So yeah. So maybe something like that, as opposed to truly indoors. But yeah, this is exciting news because Shanghai was the last one, right? And that was like...
Correct.
2011, I think? No, wait. Yeah. So like 14 years ago. So you're looking at 14 years ago when it opened. So you're looking at, by the time this is all done, almost 20 years since there has been a new, truly new Disney resort. So pretty cool.
Right. I think that's nice.
Yeah, so here's a question for you, Sue, because I saw somebody post this, of course, on the My DVC Points Facebook page. Any chance we see a DVC resort at Abu Dhabi?
Hey, could happen. if so, I think it would be pretty luxurious, that's for sure.
Yeah,
I feel like it's... Because everything over there is.
Yeah, I feel like it's pretty low likelihood, though. I don't know.
You know, we haven't seen them in China yet. We haven't seen them in Shanghai, Tokyo. So you can say, because we haven't seen them internationally, it may not happen. But they do have a lot of theme park hotels around there on the island. So it stands to reason that might be something that they could consider. But they'd have to do a market analysis and see if there's a market for it.
Yeah, and it still wouldn't be really catering to Americans per se.
No.
I mean, I don't see this park. I mean, none of the international parks particularly cater to Americans. You could maybe argue Disneyland Paris. There's maybe a little bit of, hey, if you're a tourist coming over to Europe, come and visit Disneyland Paris. But I don't really think the other parks particularly market to Americans. And I think this park will be marketing to predominantly that area, and also probably Asia a lot.
Yep.
India is quite close to that area, and India is a billion people. All of them are going to be wealthy enough to go to Abu Dhabi, but enough of them will be, I think. So
right. It'll be interesting to see, and it'll be interesting to see at D23 this fall if anything comes out as far as concept art.
Yeah. Yeah, hopefully. I mean, it's going to be an exciting, couple of years as more details start to come out with that. So, but yeah, any Disney park's on my bucket list, but I think this one is probably the lowest on my list of ones I'm likely to go to, I think.
Yeah, mine too. So, mine too. Yeah.
And I'd say, unless you win the lottery or something.
That's right. Yeah. If I win the lottery, maybe I'll do a sweep and do the parks in Asia as well as the one in Abu Dhabi.
There you go. All right. But a little closer.
I have 5 years.
Oh, sorry. What'd you say?
I said I have 5 years to win the lottery.
Yeah. Got some news a little closer to home down in Florida. Yeah. So,
yeah, we have details on the new Pirate Tavern in Adventureland, which has been announced. Disney has released some details of the upcoming tavern that will open later this year. The name is The Beak and Barrel. And from Disney's description, quote, established by the legendary pirate rum runner Captain Meridian, otherwise known as Mary Goldwyn, and her talkative first mate Rummy, this lively pirate pub will soon welcome swashbucklers, scoundrels, bandits, and buccaneers of all ages from every corner of the seven seas. Rummy appears to be an animatronic parrot that will appear to greet guests in the main mess hall and sharing tales of piracy and leading the bar in a rousing. The room is called the Captain's Quarters and will, I'm sorry with the word I say, quarters.
Quarters.
I'm from New England, quarters. And we'll have some magical bottles that may come to life as well. So it sounds a little like the inspiration from the Adventures Club is coming into the Pirate Tavern, but we have no word on whether or not there'll be sinking bar stools, which would really be kind of neat. So if you thought this tavern would hold to the dry tradition of Magic Kingdom, think again. However, drinks will be limited to 2 per customer, and no carry-out drinks will be allowed. In addition, guest experience is listed as a 45-minute time cycle experience. There's no word on whether the bar will wholly refresh every 45 minutes with guests, but that seems unlikely. So reservations are going to start to be accepted June 12th for resort guests and to the general public on June 16th. I'm looking forward to it. That area has gone through a lot of different transitions and nothing ever panned out, but to have a pirate bar and the parrot Rummy was one of the original parrots that greeted you in the Pirates of the Caribbean ride.
Yeah, the Barker Bird, so, it was called, right?
Yep. So Rummy's got a new place, and maybe we can get Iago in there and stir up a little trouble. But I think it's going to be a neat place. It sounds like there's going to be some food and drink, and then an area that's basically like a tavern. Yep. So you can bring kids in to it as well. And it should be kind of neat taking that corner and making it a little bit more exciting.
Yeah. And I also have to say, I write these notes, right? And they posted that they were going to start taking reservations June 12th. But actually earlier today, they took that down. So I don't know if that's 100% certain if they're going to repost it. So they mentioned that actually Disney put it up on the website and they've taken it down again. So yeah, I mean, this looks like it could be really fun. You know, if you get some interaction, everything like that, kind of thinking a little bit along the lines of Oga's Cantina, though that doesn't have much entertainment in it, but I think it's going to be like that where it's like, okay, you come in, you order your 2 drinks, you're allowed to sit for so long and then get out.
Right.
I think
it's going to be getting the people out though.
Yeah. But at Oga's Canteen, they pressure you to. I don't know if they do it as much now that it's not so new, but like the first few times going there, I remember they were like, all right, here's your check.
Yep.
We need your table. So we'll see what happens there. I'm looking forward to this. I mean, not super thrilled that we're putting more alcohol into Magic Kingdom. I kind of liked Walt's tradition, but I also think as soon as they threw it out that they put it in all the restaurants, it's kind of already destroyed at this point. You know, it was one thing to have like Club 33 was alcohol. It's like, okay, that's a private club. Okay. I understand. But once you put it in, you know, the Beauty and the Beast castle and Tony's and everywhere else, it's like, okay, you might as well just say we're having alcohol here. You know,
right.
I mean, and
In the restaurants, though, Pete, it was basically wine and beer.
Right.
And so I'm kind of thinking, very similar to Olga's, it's not a full bar. Olga's is not a full bar. It basically has some specialty drinks. And I would assume that this would also have specialty drinks, may not be a full bar. So you keep in line with some of the rum drinks and the rum punches, Mai Tais, things of that nature, which, I mean, it's... After Rummy's going to be your guide. Yeah. So I have a feeling that they can control the alcoholic content in the drinks as well.
Yeah, I don't, I mean, and they are limiting it to two a person. So, you know, that is one way to kind of prevent people from getting really drunk in the park. But, you know, I, as I said, I'm glad they're still not opening it up to just, you know, beer at every corner popcorn stand. But I don't know. It's, I don't love it, but if they're going to do it with a pirate theme bar. That's the way to do it.
Yeah. Do it right. If you're going to do it right and have control over it.
Yep.
I agree. So I also know that there's the announcement of something about Mickey's Not So Scary. So Mickey's Not So Scary and the Food and Wine dates have been announced. Disney has released the dates for Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party for 2025, and they stretch for 38 dates from August 15th to October 31st. The exact dates are available in our show notes, but they're going to be three nights a week through late September, at which point they'll go to the four nights per week with the usual schedule. Tickets went on sale to on-site guests starting May 15th, which is today. We happen to be recording today. And they will be available to the general public on May 22nd. Prices are listed between $119 and $229 per person. The dates after October 2nd are all $189 and up. In addition, Disney has announced that the Food and Wine Festival will run from August 28th to November 22nd this year. Guests will be treated with over 35 global marketplaces and a return of the Eat to the Beat concert series, as well as Emile's Fromage Montage and Remy's Hide and Squeak Scavenger Hunt. So it's, you know, starting in August, we're going to have Mickey's Not So Scary, and we're going to have the Food and Wine, and one running the Not So Scary till the end of October. And just before Thanksgiving is when the Food and Wine will end. Yep. So they'll have a fast transition over to the Christmas season from there. Most of the dates that I looked at were on weeknights for the earlier part until you got into the October. After October,
it's like three nights a week. It's like three nights a week in August and most of September, and then it goes to the full four nights a week the last week of September, I think. And I every year I'm shocked at the prices. I mean, honestly, the prices aren't bad in August and September. They're in the low hundreds, but then you get in October and $189 and up for, and
to 229. When I say and
up, it's and up to 229. I think there's only two dates that are 229, but there's a lot of 209 dates in October, most of the weekends. And that's a, I mean, I say it every year. That's a lot of money for a 5-hour Halloween party. I don't know. They keep selling out. I mean, I know they did a few years ago, or at least after COVID, they reduced the number of people. And at the same time, when they increased, kind of hopped the prices up quite a bit. So I do know that it's better than it used to be in terms of crowds. But man, $200 for, I don't know. Are you going to go, Sue? You go every year, right?
I tend to go. Yeah. I like the Halloween party. I like the Christmas party. But the Halloween party to me is kind of special because you do see some of the characters that you normally don't get a chance to see, which is nice. And with the numbers being the way they are, you can get on all the attractions. Yeah. And so to me, it's, you know, you think in that period of time, if you're not going to do a lot of trick or treating, which I'm not going to do a lot of trick or treating, I'd rather go on the attractions. You go on the attractions and it's going to be less expensive than taking a VIP tour.
True.
Or in some cases, even taking the lightning pass.
I agree with what you're saying. I mean, you know, I think there's definitely a benefit to it. One of the things I really like about it is seeing all the people that are dressed up in costumes too. That's kind of fun because, you know, people come up with very clever costumes and family costumes and couples costumes and everything. So, I mean, I can see it, but you know, the problem is at that price is like, all right, let's say you have, you know, three kids or you're there with a large, but like even just three kids, it's $1,000 for one evening. It's a lot of money. I keep saying, I don't know, they keep raising the prices and people keep coming. So you know, I'm sure they feel like it's going to still sell out. So I don't think they have anything to worry about.
I don't either. It does tend to sell out every year, and the people enjoy it. When you look at the price of a park ticket for the Magic Kingdom on certain dates,
it's not that different.
No, and then add on to it your Lightning Pass or the Express Pass, it's going to bring the price up even higher. So you don't need that. If you go to the party and you stick to the attractions, you can get on all the attractions.
Yep.
I mean, I've even gotten on Peter Pan twice, back to back, which is almost impossible during regular hours.
Yeah, so you can save on buying I forget what the exclusive Lightning Lane that gives you all the lightning lanes, right?
Yeah.
You don't have to pay the $300 for that. You can just go to the Halloween party and get on all the rides.
And walk out with some candy.
And walk out with some candy and a unique parade. So though we're gonna be having by fall, we're gonna have a nighttime parade every night, just on Halloween night.
I can't wait. That'll
be nice. Yeah, for sure. Well, I'll be there for Halloween. We'll actually be there for Halloween this year, but I will not be going to the party. I can tell you that. Last news article that we have is actually a bunch of small items that came up in the last week or two, and I just wanted to corral these all into kind of one discussion. Some DVC related, some park related. But DVC has added to the website the ability to select condo meeting notifications by email or letter. The option can be found by logging onto the member website and going to My DVC and then Condo Association News. And I noticed the default is notification by mail. You can also on their default, you can choose how they send you your dues statements. Do you want those by mail or by email? In a second bit of news, the next round of condo meetings are scheduled for June 10th at the Contemporary Resort. Meetings for each resort are scheduled every 30 minutes. So if you are a member at a particular resort, you can only attend the meetings that you own at. And you have to also like pre-book for that. So go to the DVC website and you can sign up if you want to go to one of those meetings. We've talked about this before, Sue. Personally, right. If I was there when they were, I would never make a trip just to do this. But if I was there, I would be curious to see it once. I mean, it's a very perfunctory meeting. They'll answer a couple of questions, but you know, you're not going to get any like major news coming out of this. So,
no.
And then in other news, at Hollywood Studios, Disney Villains Unfairly Ever After show at Hollywood Studios has released showtimes for the opening date and beyond, which is May 27th. Showtimes range from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. with a total of 15 showings listed each day.
Wow.
The show is expected to take between 17 and 20 minutes, they said, and it plays most of the day every 30 minutes. So they're going to have pretty quick changeovers in there for getting people in and out. And I've never been in there, Sue. Did you ever go into when it was the Cars show?
Yes, I did.
So is it a pretty big place or kind of not
it's a good size venue. So it can hold quite a few people. But I was surprised to hear that it's going to be almost every 30 minutes because the cast members, they're going to have backups. I mean, that's a lot to go one show after another full force.
Oh, for sure. They're either doing like every other show or maybe they do like two shows and then they skip one or something like that for sure with that much frequency.
Yeah.
Because I think the Little Mermaid show was like that too. They actually would have two crews to do that show because that ran basically continuous, right? It was do the show, let people in, let people out. And speaking of which, the new Little Mermaid show is also on the schedule starting May 27th, and it is running from 9:15 a.m. to 7:15 p.m. So if you love The Little Mermaid, you can almost rope drop it.
Yeah, that's amazing.
They're also adding it to the Lightning Lane. I don't think they've added the Disney Villains show to Lightning Lane, but they are adding The Little Mermaid show. So I don't know that I would waste my Lightning Lane on The Little Mermaid, at least the pre-book. Maybe when it's the last thing left, but they actually had a preview on the Disney YouTube channel with Jodie Benson that she went through and showed a little bit about the show. It looks a lot like it's going to be basically an update of the old show. Like, it's still going to be a lot of puppetry. There's going to be a little more screen effects, and some of the characters will be on screens instead of live puppets, but there's still going to be live puppets. So I picture it's going to be very similar to the old show, not exactly the same, but I liked that show. I mean, what did you think, too. Sue?
Yeah, no, I did too. And I loved the dog. he was really cute, but I did enjoy the show. I thought it was a nice mix of having the background screens as well as having the live actors. And, I hope that they do it justice because I miss that old show.
Yeah, I'm glad it's coming back because it was a fun show. Yep. It was a good midday cool down type show.
Definitely cool down. I mean, especially with the mist.
Yep. And then out on the other coast, Grand Californian entrance to California Adventure has reopened after a 2-month closure. So if you're staying out there, if you got a trip out there coming up soon, you'll be able to enter directly into that park. In addition, I guess all the scaffolding on the outside of the DVC wing has been taken down, and there also is supposedly all the room refurbishments are done out there. So if you go to that DVC resort right now, you will get a refreshed room. Now, I'm hearing that for a 14-year refreshment, it really wasn't comprehensive. Like, the bathrooms look exactly the same. Uh-huh. Yeah, so I don't know. It was a little surprising. They shared photos. It definitely looks refreshed, but stylistically, and again, I'm not even sure they changed out the bathrooms because they really do look exactly the same. So we'll see. And then lastly, for our news bites, advanced reservations for summer Moonlight Magic events opened again today on May 15th, and general registration for that will also open on May 22nd. I have no idea why Disney has these dates fall the same as the not so scary Halloween party. Like, why would you have your software have that extra stress to have all these people online at the same time for both of these things? It's the same.
Yeah.
It's the same date for resort guests, May 15th, and it's the same day for general registration, yep, May 22nd. Why do they do that to themselves? I don't know.
Especially with a already crippled system. It can only take so much.
Yeah, it seems like it has a lot of problems, and then, oh, let's do everything on the same day. Sure, good idea. So, but
unreal.
With that, that's all the news this week. Sue, I know you just got back from the Caribbean. Any plans to go over to the parks? It's starting to get into the heat, so I don't know how many more times you're going to go before taking the summer off.
I've got friends coming down towards the end of this month, and so I'm hoping to meet them in the park for a little while. But yes, it is getting hot. It's summertime. I tend to stay away unless I go at nighttime after sundown. But keep in mind too, the DVC members or non-DVC members who are anyone who's an annual pass holder, that between now and mid-July, they are running 40% off on the table restaurants, a lot of table restaurants. And so that's a great break. If you happen to have your annual membership, look on your website and take a look at the restaurants. But 40% off is fantastic right now. And that's what cast members get every once in a while.
Yeah, I believe it's either Monday through Thursday or Sunday through Thursday.
Yep. It's Monday through Thursday.
Yeah, but if you're down there on vacation for a week, who cares? You can go anytime. Also, we did last episode, we did list the restaurants that were available. Mm-hmm. So if you're interested in that and you want to find out, listen to show 161. Episode. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're using a new recording medium this week, so you'll have to let us know. Give us a review. We always ask for reviews on Apple Podcasts, but also let us know if we're still sound okay. Go on my DVC Facebook page or my DVC Points Facebook page and Let us know if we still sound okay, because this is, again, using a new recording system, so we're thinking it's going to sound just as well, but if you have some issues, let us know. And other than that, though, you know, we're just getting into summertime, and everybody out there, enjoy your summer and enjoy your upcoming Disney trip, and I'll say see y'all real soon.
Okay. I want one of those rum drinks right now.
Me too.
Ladies and gentlemen, please watch your head and step as you exit, and take small children by the hand.
Aw, cheer up, Dad. You know I'll come back. With DVC.
My DVC Points is an unofficial Disney-inspired podcast created by fans of Disney Vacation Club. The thoughts expressed in this podcast are personal opinions and personal experiences. My DVC Points is not affiliated with Disney Vacation Club, the Walt Disney Companies, or any subsidiaries. We encourage listeners to contact their DVC guide or member services for official DVC policies.